Dallas-Fort Worth.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's a lot of folks, they read the questions on the cards, they wait for the answer, and then they read the next question on the card. We don't do that. We really talk like we're talking today. And I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
Montse Alvarado.
I pray that EWTN News in Depth will help the everyday life of everyday Catholics by bringing them the news that matters to them and helping them to have the information at their fingertips for discussions at the kitchen table or those fun reception discussions, whatever it is that they need to be able to engage with the world confidently with their faith.
Get trusted Catholic news every day on EWTN television and radio.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. She's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Father of 10, 5 boys, 5 estrogen Americans. I am my kids' orthodontist's summer home. You ever notice that? Every kid now has perfect teeth. We were all growing up. Well, you had to kind of hope your teeth came in sort of straight. Maybe the bottom ones would be crooked and crowded, but you smiled with your top ones mostly. I remember that. I had braces in the 8th grade. 3 months. That was it. 3 months of braces because we couldn't put out the $6,000 or whatever it would have cost. And remember, I remember one time I threatened to run away from home. And my dad said, get the braces off. You're not taking the braces with you. We can use those for your younger brother. Yeah, you didn't mess around with the parents in those days. Nice to have you here on The Doctor Is In. This is E-Person Monday. I like E-Person Monday. Had it for about 10, 11 years now. We get a lot of emails, not only from the radio show, but from the TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray. My producer, Dick Russ, says, we want to hear from you. And then folks send the e-persons and do my very best to address. I answer all of them in some way, whether it is just please call the show, I can ask some questions, whether it is their request for a referral of someone in their area, whether it is have you read this book, and I respond no. I maybe say a little more than that. I say something, I'm not familiar with it. But about half, maybe a little less than half, are situations. Some situations are so long and complex that I write back and say that the situation is just too long, too complex. I usually refer them to someone. Or if you can call the show, maybe we can distill it down to the actual core of the matter. So we'll get to those in a moment. I've got an e-person coming up. The rule on the radio show when we take calls is that if you disagree with me or you put me down in some way or you want to chastise me, you're feeling particularly truculent, you go first. I put you up first. The rule applies to e-persons. If you have an e-person that is rough on me, scurrilous even, I read that one first. So I've got a real interesting one coming up right after this opening monologue. A few weeks back, I was in Lake Jackson, Texas, speaking to St. Michael the Archangel Parish folks. In the Q&A time, a gentleman asked, you look like a young father, probably is looking at him and his wife, and I'd say their kids would be right smack in the middle of childhood, 8 to 12, 14. How can a parent not feel like they've fallen short or they're a failure if their kids don't turn out the way they had hoped? Now, he wasn't necessarily talking about adult children who run their lives very differently than the way they were raised. I think he was just talking about kids getting older and showing signs that I'm not absorbing here what mom and dad have been trying to teach me. He said, how is it that we can resist that feeling? And it's not really a feeling. It's more of a thought. It's an attitude. I said this. I looked at him. You're not the only influence in who your child becomes. Now, that sounds rather simplistic to all of you listening because you're thinking, of course not. Of course not the culture. But this is what I meant. I said there are three main influences in shaping a child. One, of course, is parenting. The stability of the family, the love of the family, the structure and discipline and expectations of the family. I've seen a lot of wonderful families, good, solid folks who have no discipline whatsoever, and their kids just go off the rails. Seen that. Lots, matter of fact. I've seen very smart families where their kids go off the rails because the parents just didn't have the stamina or the will to do what they needed to do to teach these kids you can't do certain things. We're going to guide you in a different direction. But a huge factor is the child's temperament, the way the child is wired. You know this. Any of you listening right now that have, say, 3, 4, 5 kids, if you even have 2, you see they're different. You notice this. Their personalities are very different. Some are more mature. Some are thinkers. Some seem to be much more easily conscience-guided. Some just absolutely have major league affection toward you. And others, it could come and go. The wiring of the kid, the personality of the kid, the inborn temperament of the kid is enormously powerful. It is. And it affects how they absorb your parenting. Some kids just absorb the parenting. They do. And if you have a kid like that, you can think you're God's gift to child rearing, and then another one comes along, and now you start to doubt yourself because all the stuff that was so easy with this one, who could have been the first one, is not so easy with this other one. So you got temperament and parenting. And then, to beat this down, the culture. This is not a farm in 1880, as I've often said. The influence on the child is not the family and the clan and the village or the tribe. The influence now is massive technology, a culture that pushes a certain kind of immorality to be celebrated, and they do it very well. They do it through shows. They do it through modeling what people are supposed to be like. If you watch any kind of show on TV, a lot of them, especially in the streaming networks, they just take as good and healthy and proper and wonderful sexual immorality. They do. They just hold it out, and they make it so very appealing. And, of course, there's never any whiff that it's not a good way to live because it has risks. No, never, never. So you got the parenting, the wiring, and the culture. Three factors. So for a parent to say, I've failed, what you're saying is, I believe that I am by far the most important factor. Now, I know that's going to sound funny to somebody. You're going to say, well, I am, Dr. Ray. What if you don't have, if you're going to have kids, you better be the most important factor. Well, you try to be the most important factor, but sometimes, and I know there are those of you listening to go, yes, I know he's exactly right. My 16-year-old daughter absolutely loves us. She loves the faith. She's thoughtful. She's mature. She's responsible. My 19-year-old daughter can't wait to get away from us and live her own life in any way she wants to live it. What the heck happened? Yeah. Raised in the same home, same family, same instruction. Pretty much. It's going to be different simply because the kids are at different positions in the parents' life. But by and large, the influence of the parents was the same on all the kids. And some kids absorbed it, some didn't. I think something that is at the bottom of his question was, is there a formula to do this right? For almost all of human history, with the exception of the last, say, 40, 50, 60 years, parenting was the domain of parents. Parents and grandparents and families. When the experts came along, rather than being viewed as helps to the parents, and that's part of pretty much the way I propose whatever I offer here. It's a help. Use it if it makes sense. Now, there are many of you who tend to push me into that expert role, which is, am I right, Dr. Ray? Because you're attributing to me this status that I really don't have. I know a lot more than you do because I see a lot more people. That's true. But at the same time, I'm just here to help. You're the parent. You decide these things. I can give you the thoughts and the options. But see, the experts have morphed into something that is now the correct formula. Parents are viewed as amateurs, muddling along, while the experts are all telling parents how they're screwing it up, how they're talking the wrong way, how they're disciplining the wrong way. God help them if they've swatted a bottom. That's what's happened. I think there's a proper role for somebody who's got a lot of experience in talking to parent and kids, and that proper role is to help. I have a re-release of a book coming out probably in the next couple of years. Its original title was Advice Worth Ignoring. And I, in the book, talked about 50 different pieces of high-profile expert advice that doesn't work real well. In the beginning of the book, I said, well, why would you even listen to me then? If I'm telling you to scrutinize what the experts tell you in the context of your home, your moral system, your religion, your goals, why would you listen to me? And the point I made in the very first pages of the book was, you take it or leave it. You can listen to it, and you can say, you know, that makes sense, or that jives with my reservoir of instincts. I didn't want you to look at it as like, well, here's the guy telling you how to do it. Here's the formula. Because if there is a formula, then I can see how parents would feel like failures. Either they didn't apply the formula correctly, or they didn't know the formula. Or they just applied bits and pieces of the formula rather amateurishly. I think his question reflected, how can you not feel like a failure when what seems to be the case, the message, is there is a right and proper way, expert-wise, that is, psychologically enlightened, that is, to raise children. And if you do that, you're going to get these well-adjusted human beings. If you have six kids, all six of them are going to be that way. If you have four kids, all four of them are going to be that way. That's raw nonsense. And it isn't just my opinion. Anybody listening knows kids respond differently to your parenting. And anybody listening also knows that your oldest child might be 25 and your youngest is 10. And even in that 15 years, it was a radical difference in raising the children in this culture. My son, we had our first computer down in the family room when he was about 9. There was no smartphones. He and his sister went to college and they used walkie-talkies. My youngest, Every single one of her friends had a smartphone by the time they were 11. It's a different world just from the oldest to the youngest. So to summarize the answer to that question, you're not the only influence. And don't ever fall into the trap that there's a right formula and you just missed it. I'm Dr. Ray. When we come back, let's dive into these e-persons.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
This summer, take a vacation that lifts your spirit and soul. Join Corporate Travel for the annual Grand Getaway on beautiful Mackinac Island, August 3rd to the 5th. Experience historic Grand Hotel, powerful talks from Father Mike Schmitz, Steve Ray, Dr. Edward Sree, and Father Leo Padalinghug, plus live broadcasts with Teresa Tamio, daily mass, four-course dinners, and dancing. Faith, fellowship, and fun in one retreat. Only a few rooms remaining. Don't miss out.
Book this Ave Maria Radio trip now by checking the travel page on avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Ray Garandi here, program Doctors In. Variant of the Doctors In e-person Monday. Let's jump into this. My rule is, if you call and disagree with me, or you even wish to chastise me, I would even say get nasty, I'm going to put you straight to the front. Because I want to hear what you have to say, and if I can't really offer a reasonable explanation for the direction that I took, then I haven't thought it through and it was impulsive and it needed to be brought to light. I follow the same rule with e-persons. This came from a viewer, male. Okay, let me set the backdrop here first. About 2 years ago, we were taping an episode of Living Right with Dr. Ray here in North Canton, Ohio. We were over at Walsh University, which is our local faith-filled Catholic university. I'm sorry, that's wrong. We were not. We were in Cleveland. And a young lady in the audience, who just happened to be my daughter, stood up, and I didn't know this was coming. But she asked three very succinct questions, seeking three very succinct answers. Two of the questions got a humorous answer because that's how they led, and then the other one got a serious answer, but it was quick. All three were very quick. It wasn't any kind of three-minute short answer essay that you used to do when you were in college in the blue books. I said to my producer, Dick Russ, I said, Dick, what if we make that a regular part of the audience questions? We can have three quick questions, and we'll have them all be funny. For example, I'll just give you an example of one of those questions. A person would get up, and we give these questions to someone in the audience who has a nice camera presence. They recite the question. We have them on note cards for them, and there's three of them. For example, one of our first questions was, Dr. Ray, what would you most want someone to say about you when you're in your coffin? And my answer to that was, look, he's moving. So that's the kind of tone that these questions are supposed to elicit. Well, this came in. I watched a lightning round of questions. Yeah, I call it quick questions. The lady asked you three questions. Now, keep in mind that the lady who did this was given these questions. You answered only one. Now, I don't know what he means by that because I answer all three. Maybe he meant you answered only one sufficiently. The other two, you made a joke. But I think it was just a bad joke because I answered all three of them with a joke. One was, what book made you most cry? And I said, that would be Organic Chemistry when I was a junior in college. Okay. You made a joke, and you didn't answer at all. Right. He wanted me to answer seriously that question. That was not the intent of the quick question round. Because prior to that, we take three or four questions from the audience and we answer them as best we can, similar to what happens here on the program. Then the lady asked about joining a 401k. She said something like, Dr. Ray, what do you think about entering yourself in a 401k? Again, a joke, he said. I said, I can't run that far. These people just wanted straight answers. So obviously he missed it. Now, we've been doing this for 2 years on the program, so maybe he's a first-time watcher, and he thought they were asking legit questions. And I should have commented about a 401k, and I should have commented about what book made me cry. I think it was the Cleveland Browns, and when they called a draw play on 3rd and 12 in the playoffs, and they offered the reason for it in one of their books, I did cry. I cried there. These people just wanted straight answers. You did nothing of the sort. That's true. That's true. That was not the intent of these quick question rounds. And here's what he says. It's safe to say I will not be watching your program again. Have a good day. Now, I wrote him back. And I said that was not the intent of these questions. These were not legitimate questions from audience members. These were questions to be used to have some fun. I haven't heard from him since. However, it says a couple things. You have to be really careful when you offer a strong opinion about the way someone should act when you really don't know the story. And we do this. It's bad human frailty, which is, I have an opinion about this, even though I really am short on facts. Now, he looked at this and he said, you really did not give those people what they were asking for. He had no idea that this had been part of the show for a long time. It was a fun part of the show, and we talked to the folks before. These were not their questions. These were my questions that I gave to them to ask. And they looked forward to it, and they liked being part of the show, being able to get up in the audience and ask those questions. But he didn't know that. But yet he felt like he knew exactly what that purpose was for. How often do we do that? I got to tell myself, I have to watch. See, being a shrink, you're supposed to come to some incisive conclusions rather quickly. You're supposed to know these things. Yeah, and then I find out later I was wrong. Because I didn't know everything. I used an example. Oh, gosh, I'm going to run out of time here. It's going to ring. I used an example of solving a math problem. If you only know three of the variables in an equation, a pretty good chance you're going to get the wrong answer. Because there's a whole bunch of other variables you didn't know. And I wonder how often we do that when we get upset at people because they didn't act the way we wanted.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
What qualities are embodied in truth and goodness? The Catholic Catechism asserts that the practice of goodness is accompanied by the joy and splendor of spiritual beauty. Truth, says the Catechism, is beautiful in and of itself. Because man is endowed with an intellect, truth in the rational expression of the created and the uncreated reality is necessary. But when truth is beyond words, the depths of the human heart, the exaltation of the soul, the mystery of God, other forms of complementary human expression are needed. Before God revealed himself in words, he revealed himself in the universal language of creation, the order and harmony of the cosmos, which both child and scientist can discern. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents. And despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how is your pain?
Oh, yeah, I like that. You can't be unhappy with a banjo. Harmonica, neither. You can't be unhappy. You could be unhappy with violin or maybe even a harp. Oh, yeah. Keep it going, Andrew. I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that. I'm not sure I want to hear where you're coming from. Good to have you with me here. Emotionally peaking. The doctor is in. All biorhythms in sync, aligned with Jupiter and Mars, pegging the IQ needle upwards of 135 for short bursts. Can't hold it there. But if you're listening during that sentence when I hit 135 IQ... E-Person Monday, hello, Dr. Ray. The first line of this E-Person would make me question. Now, obviously, I'm not sitting in an office, so I can't get an answer. But here's the first line. My sister and her only daughter have had a very close relationship. Now, Dr. Ray, why would you question that? Right? You want them to have a close relationship. It's the rest of the letter. My niece, the daughter, is 20 years old, has started college, and she's engaging in behavior, let's just leave it at that, that my sister considers risky and immoral, Christian values. The standards that she was brought up with. Okay, so why did you say, Dr. Ray, that you would want to explore the close relationship, because I hear this frequently. Someone says, we were just so very close, and now she's not talking to me, and she won't talk. I haven't talked to her for 6 months. She just, and I said, well, what did you do? And then they tell me, and I'm thinking, well, that wouldn't be enough to destroy a really close relationship. There had to be something going on here that you were either not aware of, or there were resentments brewing, something. So I would wonder, if I asked mom here, as the child moves into her teens, 17, 16, were some of these things starting to happen? Okay. And I would want to know what kind of social media she'd been on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. My niece is using an app called Tinder. Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Tinder is a kind of a hookup app to meet and date young men. In other words, pick and a poke. You don't know who or what you're getting, and until you actually meet them in person, you don't really know, and it's risky. It's definitely risky. Every time my sister talks to my niece about her concerns, my niece ends up rolling her eyes at her and doesn't seem to take the subject seriously. Now, every time my sister talks to this girl. So in other words, the sister is still trying to persuade the girl that this is not good. This is dangerous. It's immoral. But the girl doesn't want to hear it. All right. So the question now becomes, what's mom going to do about it? She's 20. And if you say you are doing these things, but Dr. Ray, she's 20. She can do what she wants. Aha! She can. However, follow me. My niece is still living at home. Okay, so she's gone to college, assuming that the parents are paying for the college, which I would think is a safe assumption, because I'll explain here in a moment or in a sentence. So they're paying for her college. She's engaging in all kinds of sexually risky behavior, not to mention the immorality of it. And she doesn't want to hear it. She wants to do what she wants. By the way, I pay for my college. We go on. My niece has been talking about moving out now that she has a job and can drive. By the way, it's a little parenthetical statement. My sister is making the car and insurance payments. Okay, well, then the niece doesn't have a car. Mom and dad are paying for the car and the insurance. So obviously the niece can't make these payments. Now, she wants to move out, my guess would be, because she wants total freedom and she wants to be out from underneath the watchful eyes of her parents. Dr. Ray, she's 20 years old. She's an adult. Yeah, she is legally. However, she's living at home and they are supporting her. So, in essence, they're supporting what she's doing. We go on. My niece went to a Christian school from kindergarten through high school. And she's still getting pretty good grades in college. So far, that's my comment. So far. If you're getting into a wild social scene, the chances that those grades are going to stay where they are low. It's difficult for my sister to understand how my niece can take such risks regarding her personal safety. Okay, so the point here to be said is that she went to a Christian school, we raised her in a Catholic Christian home, and she's just going wild. How are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry? And mom can't understand it. Well, I can, in the sense that it was like I talked about in the opening monologue. The culture is really pulling on her, and her own particular temperament, her wiring. My sister is really stressed out and is experiencing countless sleepless nights wondering about my niece's safety while going out at night with different men. Okay, got that? So, mom and dad, now I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just simply describing the scenario. Mom and dad are paying for all this while the daughter seriously risks her well-being, morally and citing. Once again, clearly, she doesn't want to hear it. My sister's really concerned about my niece moving away and losing any connection they might still have. Guidance and suggestions. Well, I don't know what connection they do have. I think that the connection they have, right, those guys. They're paying for insurance? See, I think they're deathly afraid of losing the approval or the whatever relationship is there with this child, rather than saying, I can't allow this. Which would be risky itself, because the girl would probably leave, and who knows how she'll end up, and she'll probably have to drop out of college. You know, life is sometimes you don't have good choices. You got least bad choices. You don't have any good ones. You got two bad ones. You got to decide which one of them is the lesser of the bad. Faces us parents an awful lot. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. As long as she continues to stay at home and act as she pleases under mom and dad's support. One thing it seems clear, trying to talk her out of it ain't working.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We get what we look for. St. Therese of Lisieux has an interesting insight on this. Once in a discussion over the possibility of avoiding purgatory, the future saint told another member of her community, Sister Maria Fabronia, that God was more father than judge. And in this discussion, debate, she finally took the liberty of saying to the other sister, "If you look for the justice of God, you will get it. The soul will receive from God exactly what she desires." Are we full of wounds and anger and hurt, and do we want to inflict that on other people? Are we allowing God to heal us? If we receive His mercy, we have to show it to others. The Beatitudes are the heart of Jesus' message. Let's be transformed by them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from His perspective, what's the friendship that we have with Him look like? How would He describe our friendship with Him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
E-Person Monday, continuing with it here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Garandi. Website's Dr. Ray, D-R-R-A-Y. I think some 18 books listed there. Marriage, family, parenting, faith, emotions, getting along with people, bunch of stuff. Dr. Ray, your comment about worshiping with the body of Christ sometimes being a messy experience was spot on. I don't exactly remember when I made that comment. It was probably, we were talking about something with kids in Mass. One of my worst days in the priesthood was the day I took a phone call from a new convert about her experience at Sunday Mass. Now, this is a comment that a lot of new converts have made as they read and study and pray and grace their way into the Catholic Church. They find out that the reality of all of us sinners in one place can be pretty messy. It's a little bit of shell-shocking experience for them. She was in church with her three-year-old, who whispered to her three or four times, "Mom, why is he doing that?" Okay, it's a three-year-old observing the priest, asking the questions. Which, by the way, I think is pretty good. Because I think more of us need to ask, now, why do they do that at Mass? So the three-year-old instinctively was asking it. Afterward, a man told her, I wonder if these are the words he used. If she can't control her brat in church, she ought to stay home with him. Whoa. I've had many priests say they love to hear crying babies at Mass. They're the future of our church. Yeah, the idea that there's no crying babies at Mass. She immediately changed parishes. Here's this new convert coming in, little three-year-old kid, simply just asking natural inquisitive questions about why the priest is doing what he's doing, and you want to say to the guy who scolded her, yeah, do you know why he does what he does? I'm just grateful that she changed to another Catholic parish from our Central City parish, which was starving for new young members. Then there was the day, Dr. Ray, that my mother, my aunt, and my three-year-old nephew came to a weekday Mass for school children. It sounds like a little boy. He got away from them after communion, walked up the great long aisle, up three steps to the altar, three more to my chair, and in a voice that the microphone picked up asked, Uncle Tom, is this about over? Then, in the recessional, he held my hand and smiled and waved to all the kids on the way out. After that, Dr. A, I am ready for anything that any preschool kid can dish out. And Father Thomas, and I won't say his last name, retired but still dealing with preschool kids at Mass. When we traipsed in with our kids, our 10 kids, all 12 and under, there was no way that my wife and I could set up a seating arrangement where we could monitor within hand-gripping distance more than four kids out of the 10, no matter where we sat. Now, the older kids, the 10, 11, 12-year-olds, but by and large, they were fine in church. But you can't really expect them to corral a three-year-old like a parent can corral a three-year-old. So we had certain rules in Mass that we lived by, not the least of which if we went out to breakfast or lunch afterwards, depending upon your respect for our Lord in Mass, would depend upon what, or if anything, you got to eat when we went out to eat. But yeah, I've seen that in Mass where I am sometimes. So you got a little kid. We were at the Easter Vigil. And there's probably about 2-year-olds. A 1.5 to 2-year-old is really the toughest time to take a kid to Mass. Because they really don't understand. I mean, you can discipline a 3-year-old by taking him out and standing him in the corner of the lavatory or something. But a 1.5-year-old or 2-year-old, you almost got to distract him. You may have to leave. Remember, I don't forget what the record was when I had to leave the church 4 times in one Mass, I think, with one of the kids. Because just when you got to calm down and got him back in there, something happened. So the little guy was making all kinds of noise. And I looked over and I just smiled. And I nodded and I wanted to convey That's okay. He's welcome here. He's really welcome here. As opposed to, shut that kid up. Come on, man. We're holy people here. What are you doing? And you know, in a way, and I firmly believe in well-conducted children in mass. That's a good thing. But yet at the same time, there's a part of me that isn't going to be too quick to be critical of a parent with a 3 or 4 year old when that 3 or 4 year old is being somewhat disruptive. Who am I to say, you know, you should be better at this. You should take care of that kid. You know, there's people here trying to pray and be holy. What are you doing? It'd be very, very easy for that person to feel persecuted and intimidated and saying, you know what, I don't really want to go back there. I get better treatment when I take him to the local bar with me than when I go to church. Yeah. I remember a story was told. I got to get the details right on this. I was at a talk somewhere at the Boston affiliate. And there was a fellow that spoke with me. He talked about somebody in his bar that either spilled a drink or knocked over a whole bunch of stuff, and a whole bunch of people came to help him right away quick. And he made the observation, and again, I got to get this right, that something similar happened at church, and nowhere near as many people came to help him. Now, again, I don't know if the details are fuzzy because this was a long time ago, but he was contrasting the behavior of the patrons in the bar with the behavior of the mass goers. Got to make sure we behave at least as good as people in the bar when we're at church. I'm Dr. Ray.
Just be yourself, nothing more, nothing less, all right?
I can't just be myself.
Well, you're doing it right now.
No, I'm not.
The doctor will be with you in just a moment.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
All right, I got to get this one in quick. Doesn't even start out, hi, Dr. Ray. Starts out, ugh. My son started pre-K last fall. I'm kind of regretting it. The teachers told me 6 weeks in that he was possibly on the autistic spectrum. We were kind of surprised by this news because some of the expectations they had seemed very high for a 4-year-old kid. that they barely knew. They claimed he was doing those things above and beyond what is normal behavior seen by other kids. Okay, let me stop there. We are a hyper-diagnostic, pathology-oriented society. And education is right up there among the quick to put a label on it. Now, I can't dispute what the teachers are saying. I don't know. I don't know the kid. I'm not saying that. This is a general statement. She goes on. So we kind of did the wait and see if he approved, if he improves approach. And in the meantime, I chatted with his pediatrician, who was not concerned, and asked that they put into writing what they were seeing at school, specifics. The email they sent me was alarming. I wish I could see that email. And at conferences, they asked if he was like this at home. He is not. All right, so if he's not like that at home and mom is not glossing over this, then there's something in that school environment that is eliciting certain kinds of behavior that the teachers are saying, on the spectrum. This is a COVID kid who has never been in daycare and has an older sibling age 8 and a younger sibling age 2. Father and I both work from home, and he spends time with grandma as well. He's only going half days from 8 to noon. Class has 18 other students, and about 15 of them have known each other because they do morning and aftercare. Our son does not. I found a magazine about autism which stated that in order to be properly diagnosed, you need to have all 6 symptoms. Okay, here we go. Hyper or hypo, reaction to sensory input. Repetitive behaviors, interests, or activities. Social and communication deficits, verbal and nonverbal. Difficulties in relationship development. Attachment to sameness, routines, and behavior. Fixated interests, considered abnormal intensity. Now, some of that stuff could be his unfamiliar, or maybe there are some slight language delays. Mom says, I brought the magazine with me to the last conference and asked if they felt if he had these. I don't think he throws any of these traits at home. And the teachers couldn't point confidently to all 6 traits either. This is not to impugn preschool teachers or teachers in general, some of whom can be very quick when they spot something that looks like it could be a diagnosable condition. And here's the other part of it. Even if this kid is mildly on the autistic spectrum, you still got to deal with the conduct. You're not going to say, okay, good, we now know what the problem is. Here we go. Here's the pill. Here's the therapy. Here's what we do. It's not that clear cut. Additionally, he makes noises, but they've always been with him at play. I've seen him heard and make some of these noises and do some twirling when I've asked him what he was doing, and he told me. Explosions, constructions, airplanes, which is all part of his play. He's never spent all day just twirling in a circle or making noises. And mom and dad say, stop, he'll stop. Any thoughts, Dr. A? Is this a boy just developing at a different pace? Or should I be concerned this is autism? Well, how do I answer that? Because, first of all, I don't know. But second of all, I don't think you should be concerned because you know your boy. And if you say, yeah, he does this, and some people would call that on the autistic spectrum, in a lot of ways, so what? So what? It's who he is. You're going to deal with it. And he's going to grow up, and he's going to have his own maturation pace. But it really doesn't sound like what you're describing is as significant as those 6 signs of autism, which really are pretty pronounced. And I think my experience has been, when I used to consult to the schools, my experience has been it's too easy to take one or two particular pieces of behavior and say, that behavior falls within the rubric of this diagnosis, so therefore, maybe that diagnosis is present. A lot of amateur diagnosing out there. Da, 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 da. She says this. The teachers have seemed to have some kind of a negative air about them and their communication with the parents since the beginning of the school year. When they were introducing the kids to soccer, the email said that they noticed several of the kids picking up the ball, and that is cheating. Well, when you're a little kid, you got a ball in front of you. You don't want to just kick it all the time. Sometimes you pick it up. All right, don't pick it up. That's not soccer. And the email said, parents allowing children to cheat is a disservice to this child. Please talk to your children about cheating. Oh, please. Now, see, that makes me go, what? So the kid picked up a ball. Don't pick up a ball. You're not allowed to pick up a ball in soccer, okay? That's cheating. See, immediately it is extrapolated to some character deficit. Oh, gosh. All right. Oh, here it is. Okay. I'll read this next time around because it's an interesting thing. Well, I got to run. Appreciate you joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Good Lord, Mitten. I'll talk to you tomorrow when you can call in and we can chat voice to ear. Walk with God. Please walk with God. You will see him someday.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
A powerful platform for promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. Sometimes it can seem that our family life is humdrum, monotonous, and insignificant. But Christ began his public ministry at the wedding at Cana. When we read this account in the
Hi, I'm Chris Nisi, owner and operator of Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. My wife and I are parishioners at St. Anne's Parish in Coppell. We are blessed to be sponsors of the GRN, the radio station that brought us into the Catholic Church. We train aircraft dispatchers to work behind the scenes, planning flights, and supporting pilots en route. If you would like to learn more, you can visit us in Farmers Branch or online at adtcdallas.com. That's Alpha Delta Tango Charlie Dallas.com.
Today's culture has mystified masculinity, where emotions are a sign of weakness. All men, 18 and older, are invited to reclaim their identity as true men following Christ. The Men in Front Men's Summit will take place on Friday, June 27th through Saturday, June 28th at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church in Prosper. The summit includes fellowship, beer, and brisket on Friday evening. Begins Saturday with Mass and dynamic talks by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Register now at stmartindepoorsmenssummit.org.
Hello, it's Todd Sluter, licensed professional counselor with Epiphany Counseling and sponsor of GRN. I've been blessed to work with many individuals, couples, teens, and families in our diocese, incorporating counseling principles with authentic Catholic values. God wants you to have a greater sense of joy and purpose. If you or someone you know are struggling to find purpose, stuck moving forward with goals in life, or a relationship is not working, you may need to seek a counselor to help regain hope and healing. You may get in touch with me at 469-556-8336.
Did you know that this year will be 25 years Guadalupe Radio Network has been on the air, keeping the promise? At our founding, in a covenant of love to our Lord and our Lady, we promised to evangelize as called for in our baptism, defend the sanctity of life, promote the family, and promote holy vocations. The GRN family strives to fulfill that promise each day, especially through our faithful Catholic programming. The Guadalupe Radio Network, keeping the promise.
The Catholic Brothers for Christ are sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They are a group of men of various ages and places in life who are deeply committed to having a relationship with Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel through the witness of lively brotherhood, who are deeply committed to having a relationship with Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel through the witness of lively brotherhood. rooted in prayer, the sacraments, mentorship, and service. To learn more about Catholic Brothers for Christ, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.